to God's Word, so I'll invite you to take your Bibles and open to the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be looking at chapter 11 and beginning our reading at verse 1. So please stand in honor of God's Word today. Open your heart because this is the Word of the Lord. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there's not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." This is God's word. You can be seated. There's a saying that goes, "The more you know, the more you know what you don't know." Have you heard that phrase? I think life sometimes works that way. But it speaks to our arrogance as humans, because the less we know, the more we tend to think we know, right? I mean, when we're sitting at home, we know exactly what that quarterback should have done on that last play, right? Even though we never played football at all. Or when we're sitting at home, we know what our leaders should do all the time. It's easy to Monday morning quarterback just about anybody who's out there for us to see. We often believe in very specific black and white ways about things we haven't explored. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't black and white lines. There are. We need to be careful in the choices that we make. But from standing way back, sometimes we draw those lines in places where we don't have to draw them. We do this about many things, and while we often want to blame the arrogance of youth, adults are not completely exempt from this kind of behavior. Put it this way. Sometimes we think we know how life is going to go, right? And then sometimes life just happens. It goes in a different way than how we thought. And we're very surprised, even though it happens a lot. Now, sometimes we form an impression of someone right up front, and we think we know them, we think we know what they're made of. But later on, as we get to know them, we're proven wrong. Even some of our deeply held beliefs are sometimes shaken when they're confronted with tragedy, or when someone takes a different turn that disappoints us. Unmet expectations can lead to shaky ground. But sometimes we're the one projecting those expectations onto others, even onto God, right? If we come to God as the great problem solver in the sky who makes me feel better when I need him to, God's going to disappoint us, because it turns out that's not God's highest purpose, right? He's not just here to solve our problems. He has a bigger project underway. And we look at the people in our lives that way sometimes. So-and-so, you're here in my life to make me happy, to make me feel good. And people are going to let us down if that's the only reason that we have them in our lives. But sometimes this shakes us to the core, and something that we really had been banking on and assuming was true may turn out to not quite be true, and it shakes us at a deep, deep level. Why, sometimes it's the result of folly, sometimes it's just the result of misunderstanding, and it's hard to absorb and to take. And I think that's kind of where John is in our story today. He had these ideas about who the Messiah would be and what the Messiah was here to do. He was anticipating that this radical, cataclysmic judgment was going to come as soon as Jesus stepped onto the scene. Now, John isn't wrong, right? The arrival of Jesus does challenge all of us at the deepest levels. The arrival of Jesus takes us all to our knees. The arrival of Jesus shows us that there is something more and bigger that God is up to, and we better be ready for what he's doing. But it wasn't cataclysmic. It wasn't something that everyone saw all around the world. And so when John is sitting in prison at this time, he's wondering, now, I thought I knew what was going to happen. What does it mean that it didn't happen? Remember, back before Jesus was baptized, John had been preaching that the axe was at the root of the tree, and it was about to fall, and all of those who were doing evil in God's name were going to be brought down. But now he's watching some of his friends fall, and even he's in trouble and sensing that the axe waits for his own death. So he doubts, he wonders, have I been wrong? Is Jesus really the Messiah? And this is interesting, particularly because John was the forerunner, the one who would first identify Jesus as the Messiah. And yet here he is wondering, is it really true? If Christ isn't working in my life, or if he's not working in the world the way that I want him to, is he still the Christ or the Messiah? So John is questioning whether Jesus is who he thought he was. Now, most of the people who were living during John's time had very specific expectations about who the Messiah would be. And most of them were most worried about how they were living under Roman oppression. They weren't self-governing. The taxes were horrible. You think your taxes are bad? They're not that bad in Indiana. I mean, the tax man could just pull up to your house at any time and just take whatever he said you owed. And if you didn't have much, what he took could have been what you were using for your livelihood. This was oppressive. This robbed them of hope so much. And as they looked only at their circumstances, they were thinking, surely the Messiah is going to fix all of these things in our time. So many were waiting a political king. And we think that probably even the Magi who started on their trip, they were thinking of king in terms of a political ruler, right? And they were prepared to meet him and prepared to honor and glorify him, but they didn't fully understand who he was and what his role would be. The freedom that people desired was a freedom from political oppression. And we know during this time there was a great fear of Herod, even beyond just the fear of Rome. He was a jealous king. He murdered his own family to stay in power. At Jesus' birth, he put out an edict to kill all the boys under age 2 in order to get rid of the threat of a new king. And this paranoia is still present, since Herod fears the followers of Jesus in an uprising. So, Herod also is thinking that the Messiah coming is a political king. So, we can understand how John had some misunderstandings, and yet embedded in John's message that he proclaimed was this idea that repentance is what was going to prepare the way for this Messiah who was to come. If John just went back over his own sermon notes, he could have seen that his call was a spiritual call to repentance and renewal of faith and obedience to God. And so as we look at John and we see him questioning Jesus, it may blow our minds to see it. But I'm glad that it's in God's book. Amen. Because it's there to show us that it can happen to any of us. And that when it happens, maybe the world isn't falling apart the way that we're thinking it is. Maybe there's a pathway right here. Maybe Jesus is responding directly to us whenever we enter into seasons of doubt. Because let's face it, sometimes we question God. We often expect God to move in the ways that we want him to. And when we're new in the faith, we want God to forgive us, and God does. We want to change our behavior, and God begins to help us to do that. We see it happen right away. We pray for loved ones, and as they see our life changing, they may begin to change as well and come to him and give their lives. We see a lot of things stack up in the early part of our journey. And if we're not discerning, if we haven't been a part of the community of faith our whole life, if we don't have a lot of people around us to help us work this out, we may start to think whatever is on our hearts that we pray for, it's going to happen the way we want it to. We may think, oh, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Well, this is what it means to get those basic foundational issues of life resolved in the power that God brings. But not every desire of our heart may be on the horizon of what God has for us. We may ask God to bless us in very specific ways with our material needs or our wants. And let's be honest, everybody has them, right? Things they're hoping for and would like to see or to have. We may ask God to bless us in terms of our worries and our fears, the things that we're uncertain about in the future. We may ask God to take care of these things and to make situations go away. When we're worried about something in the future, we think that God needs to change those circumstances in order for us to have hope and to move forward. But what if God has a different way of resolving those issues? What if it starts with reframing how we look at it all and our response to things that may be out of our control? We also may be concerned about our relationships. We may have some painful ones that repeat cycles over and over, and we just want God to come and touch in an almost magical way and make other people easier to get along with. Anybody ever pray that way at the holiday time when you're going to be around somebody? You're not around that much. Be honest, people. There's a few folks you want Jesus to work on. But it could be that they're praying for you just the same way. Can I get an amen? No amens. Wow. We may rub each other the wrong way, and we want that to simply go away. But it doesn't always work that way. So what if it's not that God isn't blessing us, but seems to be blessing others? And if you interpret Facebook and Instagram the wrong way, you'll think everyone else has a perfect life and yours is just terrible, right? But it's fake what you're seeing there. But what if we miss some of God's best blessings? I'm going to say that again. What if we miss or overlook some of God's best blessings because we're only looking for these one or two things that we want to see happen in the world? Sometimes we question where God is in the midst of tragedy that happens. We say, where are you, God? Why was this allowed to happen? But what if God says back to us, where are you? I've filled your life with love and resources. Are you helping in this tragedy? And what if God is in the midst of the tragedy, grieving with us and going to work to bring healing and hope and recovery? And sometimes we view God as being on our side of a political opinion. I'm not going to say any specific political opinions here today. I'm smarter than that. But what if instead of that, what if instead of God backing our guy or our gal, what if God is backing his own son as the true King of Kings? Amen? What if he sent one person only that we are to swear our full allegiance to? And we have earthly leaders, and I'm not saying they're all bad, and I'm not saying we shouldn't follow and respect them. We definitely should. And as good citizens, we should respond responsibly whenever we're not happy about things that are going on. But if we put all of our hopes in what happens in Washington, D.C., or Indianapolis, Indiana, or Springfield, Illinois, or Chicago, or wherever else nearby, we're going to be disappointed, folks. Because it's always temporary, whatever happens. There are no final political solutions because time marches on and another election is coming and people are as worried about getting reelected as they are about governing in a fair and just way. So what if instead God is asking us to just completely reframe our thinking, not around a political system at all, but around the kingdom of God? And what if we could celebrate any steps that any leader takes that could move us closer to the reality of the kingdom of God, and we didn't really just put all of our chips in any leader just because they did one thing that might move us closer to the kingdom of God? We should stand back. We should have a different perspective, because otherwise we'll be like those in the time of Jesus and John the Baptist who were looking for political power while God was coming to heal and transform human hearts. God was coming to change everything from the ground up, from the grassroots, so there could be justice and love and peace and hope in the land because of God working directly in our lives. And eventually, hopefully, that trickles its way up into the way leaders lead. But it seems like there's a lot of gravity involved. And the higher up people climb in power, the more they get dragged down by the inertia of the process of wielding power in the world. And so what if Jesus wants us to focus on changed hearts and caring for our neighbors ourselves? Whenever we look for a very specific type of Jesus, we often may begin to question if Jesus is the Messiah that he says he is. We need to be looking at acts of mercy. We need to be looking in the ways we find people restored and freed around us, in generosity and love toward our neighbors, and in the places around us where resurrection is happening, new life. Advent is about expectation. But let's ask ourselves once again, what is it that we are expecting from God? What are we expecting Jesus to deliver to us? Well, this morning, in response to John's questions, Jesus comes back with a clear response. And it's that he comes to bring good news to everyone. After his time in the wilderness, Jesus went out doing these amazing things that he listed off, right? The blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. All of these wonderful blessings and healings that are going on. It's heralded as the kingdom of God coming near because these actions have taken place. It's not having anything to do with Jerusalem or those in power. It's having to do with people in need. It's the presence and activity of Jesus that brings the kingdom of God near. And that's where he demonstrates what kind of Messiah he is. Now, there were some very dramatic healings that took place in Jesus' ministry. Amen? There were people who were touched, and their physical circumstances were moved from night to day with one touch. Some people were brought back to life physically. Now, those that were raised in this way by Jesus, they did have another funeral later on. I mean, we need to realize that Jesus is the only one who has experienced the fullness of resurrection. But Jesus did raise people from the dead. Amazing, dramatic. But death was still part of life. And so no one should have gotten the wrong idea that no one was ever going to die again because Jesus came. Instead, the truth to take to heart is that because we die, Jesus came to bring healing and hope for us. New life was springing up all around wherever Jesus went. And here's one of the keys. This message was for everyone. It wasn't just for the elite. It wasn't just for the people who could afford to buy sacrifices at the temple. It was even for the poor. Jesus said it directly in his message to John. The good news is preached to the poor. In the ancient world, the wrong idea was that those who made it, those who appeared to have special things, were the blessed ones who had God's favor on them. And that was not the right way to look at it. And that's why we have the book of Job in our Bible to show us that sometimes bad things happen to some of the very best people. And it's not because of what they did. In today's world, we have a slightly different spin on that. We try to push God to the margins, so we say it like this: only the strong survive, right? The strong achieve. And so people take the same kind of pride. Before, it may have been a pride in, oh, God loves me more than other people. Now it might be the idea of, oh, I'm strong and I need no one, and therefore I'm better. But it's the same old lie that good news is only for a few. Jesus turned those ideas upside down, and he went straight to those who were in need. Whether it was just needing a friend, whether it was needing healing, or directly to the poor, he came to breathe life into their forgotten worlds. And their worlds were completely forgotten. They were utterly overlooked. They were considered slaves or less than that. But Jesus came to them. And he came to them in power and with hope. In the message he sent to John, who baptized, he's enlarging John's vision. John, dream bigger. Dream bigger than you have dared to dream. It's not just about repentance and forgiveness. It's about new life. It's about healing. It's about hope and joy for everyone who first believes and then follows Jesus. It's about eternal life, life from the future, if you want to think of it that way, invading life in the present with a power otherwise not accessible to us, and dragging us forward beautifully into something wonderful and good in God. It's about all of this. And that's a message worth believing in. A life of strength and help that comes directly from God. And this morning, I want to say to you that Jesus still brings good news today. And so as we're thinking about Advent and thinking about Christmas and how we're going to celebrate it and how we're going to experience it in our world today, I want us thinking clearly about what Jesus came to do and the full and true difference that his life among us has made. not have everything that you hoped you would have in the bank, right? How many of you just have so much more than you thought? I don't know, don't raise your hand. But if you've got Jesus this morning, then you've got more than you may have known to hope for. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you've got Jesus in your life, then no one can take that from you. Not the tax man, not the thief. No one can take from you what you have in Christ. This morning, if you hold on to Jesus, you're holding on to where your life is truly secure. The stock market might go up or down, but Jesus is your rock and your hope in life. This morning, if you need a job, and you're looking and you're searching and you're struggling and you don't know, just continue to serve and be diligent in everyday matters and trust that God will provide. They say don't put all your eggs in one basket. And in general, that's a good idea, right? If you have a couple dollars to invest somewhere, you should put it in a few kinds of things. You should have lots of friends and relationships if you can. But don't play the game this way in terms of your relationship with God. Put all your eggs in his basket. Amen? Trust him completely with your life. Don't hover around the edges and say, well, God, if you'd just make a big move, then I'd make a big move. No, he's already made the biggest move possible. He came from heaven to earth. Amen? He came from God to being here in the flesh. And so he made the move to be a poor baby who had nothing going for him other than he was the living presence of God in the world. And he overcame every bit of darkness, every worldly leader trying to do what they were trying to do, every thief, everyone who tried to stop him. Even when they put him to death, they couldn't stop the power that he came to bring. Amen? And that's what we're celebrating at Christmas. It was dark, but the light came. Amen? And let this light shine into your times of doubt. We hear so much bad news on the radio and on TV, and I don't think we should look away from the pain of the world. But today it comes so fast and so furious, I think we should be wise how much of it we take in. Make sure you're taking in the good news from God's word. Let something like this be a guide to you in your daily thoughts. Remember that Jesus is here. The political landscape might seem like chaos, but let Jesus be your peace. He was born the king. He's not running for office, and he's not up for re-election. Look beyond Washington, D.C., and look to Bethlehem. Amen. The child carries all our hopes and all our dreams as he rests in his mother's arms. Sometimes our leaders act like children, and they're a lot like us in that way. But Jesus is the grown-up in every room, and he can lead us forward in faith, even if all our leaders are failing us at the exact same time. We feel like also sometimes we have to get so busy this time of year. We've got to have a full calendar or we're not leading a full life. But can I say to you instead, slow down a little bit. Serve others. Read. Pray so that you remember who you are and what the true power of this season is about. Take some loving action in even just one other person's life. And rest if you need to. But don't hide away during these dark days. It's cold and dark, can cause us to curl up in a cocoon and lose track of the world and get lost in Netflix. Let's try not to do that. Let's keep simple, warm connections with those around you this time of year. That's kind of potluck. Just a simple time of coming together and to share. But above all, please, lift up your head this season, above and beyond all the craziness around us. This is good news time. Amen? Because that powerful, wonderful, amazing child came to preach good news to the poor and to everyone. Jesus is here. That's what we're celebrating. Jesus brings life. That's what we can remember. Jesus brings healing, and that's what we cling to. And Jesus brings love and hope to you and to me. Such very good news. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we get news. But in you, may we find the good news, the only news that really matters. It's not fake news. It's more than fair and balanced. It's powerful truth that changes everything. Help us to look above our circumstances and look beyond them to trust you more in this season. With your eyes closed, take just a moment. And if you've been kind of holding back just a little bit and not letting yourself go all in your walk with God, and you're realizing that it's foolish to do that, that it's such good news that Jesus comes to bring, that you really can trust him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand this morning and reach out for more of what God has for you? Lean in. Thank you. Lean in. Be honest. Thank you. Take hold of that hope this season. This morning, if you've been struggling, if it's been a trying time, if it's tough to get out of bed and keep motivated during this time, please take hope and power from Jesus and from his amazing message of new life and restoration. Let all your hopes be focused in him. I can't promise this morning that all of your problems are going to melt away. But what I can promise you this morning is that Jesus is what you need to resolve every one of those difficulties. And he will give you the strength to walk through what you must. And he will move the mountains that need to be moved. But be with him and all in and trusting him. Father, I just pray that the true meaning power of this season will begin to settle down in our minds and our hearts, and we'll live boldly and with purpose as people of good news. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Let's stand together.